Hello everyone and welcome to JFG tonight for a review of the news. How are you doing, people of the regular chat? Justin Bieber is not doing good. He just cancelled his entire world tour, reveals his face is paralyzed by a rare virus. But when it turns out to the virus is not so rare, what's happening to Justin Bieber is a syndrome caused by the virus behind herpes zoster shingles, and it has been increasingly suspected, and with serious scientific evidence to back it up. It's not Bell's palsy, it's a different thing, but it's very much like Bell's palsy. It has been backed up that the vaccine seems to reactivate herpes zoster shingles. There are increasing scientific evidence for it. And therefore the question is Justin Bieber's face paralyzed by the vaccine? It's not Bell's palsy, because this is what he suffers from is Ramsay-Hunt syndrome. And Ramsay-Hunt syndrome is due to the paralysis of this particular nerve that innerves your entire half of the face here, and that has a root close to the hair. So if that root gets targeted by a virus, which inflammates the nerve, it keeps nerve connections from operating. So Justin Bieber is paralyzed on the forehead, around the eye, on the nose, the nostrils, and the mouth. That is what cannot move anymore in the face of Justin Bieber. Now, the picture that I've used for the thumbnail comes from the Gateway Pundit. But when you watched him in video, it's not as bad. It's really a screenshot of a bad moment. But the simple fact that he suffers from these bad moments shows that he has effectively, yes, a full paralysis of half of the face. But let's listen to what he says on the video.
Justin here.
It's weird because it's this side of the face that is paralyzed. But you can see that the eyes themselves are not paralyzed. You can look up, but it's the skin around, the muscle around the eyes that are paralyzed.
I wanted to update you guys.
See, he just blinked from one eye, but this eye didn't blink.
On what's been going on, obviously, as you can probably see from my face.
Dead Star says, is it temporary or permanent? It is normally temporary. Normally it resolves, but it depends on your ability to combat the infection. It's a herpes virus that's just located in a very bad place. It's the virus that would normally lead to skin rash. So it's normally you have a whole part of your back that's inflammated, but in the case of Justin Bieber and in the case of people who suffer from Ramsay-Hunt syndrome, instead of attacking the skin in the form of a rash, it attacks specifically this nerve, which innervates the rest of the face. Mama JF says, I hope it's permanent. Lol would be epic. Mama JF, we cannot wish harm on our fellow Canadian, Justin Bieber. Oops, now suddenly it doesn't want me to play. Are you kidding me? I cannot watch it. I cannot continue watching it, but I was able to watch it. Are you kidding me?
Okay, hey everyone, Justin here. I wanted to update you guys on what's been going on. Obviously, as you can probably see from my face, I have this syndrome called Ramsay-Hunt syndrome, and it is from this virus that attacks the nerve in my ear and my facial nerves and has caused my face to have paralysis. As you can see, this eye is not blinking. I can't smile on this side of my face. This nostril will not move.
So those are the symptoms. Now, with Justin Bieber, there comes a question here. First, he's a very young man to be suffering from shingles all of a sudden. And the fact that it's correlated, of course, with the vaccine campaign. And the fact that there is emerging evidence that herpes zoster is linked to the COVID vaccine. What's probably happening is the COVID vaccine kind of recruits your immune system, and somehow your immune system forgets to combat herpes, or somehow it becomes more loose in its combating of an existing virus in your body, and then the existing virus takes over. And we've had, of course, we've had this documented here in studies like this. Plus, the Israeli study has found a statistically significant link. The Israeli study was on millions of people, if I remember correctly. And those come from South America and America. There's pretty much global evidence that the vaccines have been associated with a resurgence of herpes zoster. So then the question becomes, has Justin Bieber taken the vaccine? Well, Justin Bieber has been secretive on this question. He has never stated publicly whether he has taken the vaccine or not. So that's what doesn't fully allow me to conclude that there is a link. It all depends on whether he took the vaccine and when he took it. Because as far as the known relationship between an outburst of herpes zoster and the vaccine, the average length of time is 6 days after getting the vaccine, getting one of the doses of the vaccine. And it seems to be more caused by Pfizer than Moderna. So the question would be, did Justin take the Pfizer one? Interestingly, his wife, not so long ago, was hospitalized with stroke-like symptoms. The 25-year-old model was hospitalized in Palm Springs, California, in March, where doctors found a blood clot in her brain. Halle Bieber described how she experienced facial paralysis while she was having breakfast with her husband before being rushed to the hospital. So his wife in March, him in June, and on top of it, you know, the fact that herpes zoster is reported to be triggered around 6 days after the dose doesn't mean that it cannot be a delayed effect of the vax. Maybe they got the vax months or years ago, and it's just that perhaps people don't associate it after a year to the vaccine, but we wouldn't know. There would be no way to know if a herpes zoster now has been caused by a vaccine of 1 year ago. There is simply not enough data to answer this definitively. So everything is possible. I would answer to the question of tonight, was Justin Bieber's face paralysis caused by the vaccine? Good chance, but we would have to know if he got the vaccine, and we would have to know when he got it. Terrible thing to be afflicted by, which is now ruining his opportunity to do a world tour. Fractal Man says, now Bell's palsy is going to be the cool thing. Hey, y'all, get facial paralysis. Everyone is doing it. I mean, they're capable of this. I mean, you've seen how the corporations that are selling these vaccines have fully taken over our media. They're totally capable to start a trend and ride on the backs of what's the name for the community, the anti-ableism community. It could be seen as an act of courage. Why don't you get your face paralysis, bro? There's so much like, if everyone had face paralysis, there wouldn't be discrimination against facial paralysis. Thomas says, wishing disease on people is the worst kind of evil. You need to punish your wife. Oh, I will not punish Mama JF for this joke. I'm sure she doesn't want Justin Bieber to suffer. And I have to agree with her. It would be pretty epic if we had this reminder for the next 40 years. Every time Justin Bieber releases a new video clip, every time Justin Bieber releases a new song, we get to remember how last time the leftists tried to force us to take a vaccine, it created this. That would be the best anti-vaccine publicity in the history of humanity. Mama JF says, no, I just thought it would make better performances and video clips. JF understands me, lol. Yeah, it would be epic. It's true. Absolutely. Bill Blaze publishes on Gab. Wow. Polished natural rhodochrosite crystal from Capilitas Mining District, Catamarca Province, Argentina. Bacon. I cannot believe that there is a rock out there that looks like bacon. And you have to, for someone who likes metaphors, comparisons, and superpositions and embedded systems, you have to ask yourself if the processes that occur over millions of years that create these crystals may have some parallels to the way bacon grows on the bodies of pigs. Like, when you think about it, there has to be some physical reason why there are some white layers and then pink layers. Perhaps it's a similar process that happens in the actual bacon. Ariel Suarez says, I never had much of a taste for bacon, to be honest. Bacon is great. Bacon is great. I don't know why someone would reject it. I think it's a great meat. If you would like to support the show, use the dollar button in the Odyssey chat. Odyssey is my favorite platform for supporting the show. If you'd like to support the show, send us a question or comment through the Odyssey Super Chats. Alternatively, you can also use Entropy. The link to Entropy is in the description below. Trump claims daughter Ivanka checked out and wasn't looking at election results. So we have the CNN crowd is covering the January 6th committee as if it was a historical moment and we're finally going to get to know the truth about Trump's conspiracy to attack the system of the United States, to attack our democracy. Sickening violence. I love that they're saying this when there are plenty of people who have died from the BLM protest. The BLM protest have never been covered by CNN by saying sickening violence. In fact, they've said peaceful protest. Mostly peaceful, but fiery. And now the January 6th is sickening violence. But this sickening violence has led to only one death, and it was on the side of the protesters. There is definitely an issue in the way CNN is covering this. They're trying to give the Democrats what they want, which is a big trial-like shit show. Personally, I've not watched in detail. I've just watched clips of it, and I don't care that much about this. As Tucker Carlson pointed out, yes, there was vandalism committed then. But it was nothing close to an insurrection. It was a protest turned bad for some individuals, and this should have always been the way it's handled. But to turn this into a dark day of American history, when the whole thing operated without a single death except on the side of protesters, and then you'd have, of course, you'll have them mentioning sometimes the policeman who died, but they appear to have died as a correlate of this day. They haven't been shot by protesters. They haven't been strangled by protesters. It appears they have died from a cardiac attack in relation to the day. So the fact that you would try to turn this into a dark day of American history doesn't work with me. Thomas Howard says, will Trump ever become J-woke? If not now, then never, I guess. Murdoch was on target with their MAGA train episode. Kushner and Bibi driving the train. Yes, it's definitely the case that that Trump was a disappointing president overall. I can't wait for him to, for it to be clear whether he's running in 2024 and whether he's succeeding at getting the Republican candidacy, because I think we have to walk past Trump. Trump gave us a lot of false hopes when you think about it, and didn't fix anything in a way that would make it hard for today's Democrat. Like, he didn't leave an imprint. He just left a symbol, and symbol is not enough. Geo Brew says, does JF know the DNA helix mirrors the orbits of Sirius A and Sirius B a trillion light years away? I don't know this. I have never heard that claim. Even if they did, never forget that you have a trillion light years away. That's impossible. Because the furthest we can see in the universe is about 13 billion years ago. Okay, so trillion year light years away is impossible. Now, Sirius A and Sirius B, what is it even? Isn't that satellites? Aren't they the satellites of some planet in the solar system? Sirius A satellite. Sirius was a constellation of communication satellites operated at 5 degrees east in geostationary orbit. Well, so it's a human satellite. So the human satellite in space, you say, reproduces the shape of DNA. Isn't anything that revolves in around and advances forward in space, isn't anything like this ultimately mirroring the structure of DNA? I don't like these making links where there are no links type of things. What's your project anyway? You think there's a conspiracy? You think they made Sirius in the image of DNA, or they made DNA in the image of Sirius? Okay, Sirius is the brightest star in the night sky. Okay, it's a binary triad star system. Okay, so if we're talking then not about the satellites, but about the star system. Two things that revolve around each other will inevitably look like the pattern of DNA. That because DNA is this. DNA is an helix that turns over itself, and as you continue through, one strand has to continue, the other strand has to continue, in the same way a star has to continue its trajectory. So of course it's going to look like DNA. By the way, take two things, attach them together with a rope and swing them to give them a rotational force, and you're going to get something that looks like DNA if you trace their trajectory. This doesn't mean anything. It's crap. Restoration of empire is the end game for Russia's Vladimir Putin. Reading Russian President Vladimir Putin's mind is rarely a straightforward task, but on occasion the Kremlin leader makes it easy. Such was the case on Thursday when Putin met with a group of young Russian entrepreneurs. Anyone looking for clues as to what Putin's endgame for Ukraine might be should read the transcript. Putin's work speaks for themselves. What he is aiming for in Ukraine is the restoration of Russia as an imperial power. Peter the Great waged Great Northern War for 21 years. A relaxed and apparently self-satisfied Putin said, On the face of it, he was at war with Sweden, taking something away from it. He was not taking away anything. He was returning. This is how it was. Yes, makes sense. It's a correct analysis by CNN. That is, he wants to have a sphere of influence, and he considers that parts of his his legitimate sphere of influence have been clawed out, and he wants them back in Russia. It makes sense because Ukraine has been refusing to deal with Russia in a way that is not even self reasonable. It doesn't even make sense from a self-interest perspective. How, for example, they have refused to buy certain things from Russia so they could get it from the West at a higher price. So there is clearly here a regime that is not acting rationally, that seems to be acting in a way as to buy favors for the West and to show itself to be closer to the West than it was in the past. Lendal Guntram says you can still watch the, I assume, unofficial Kremlin channel on YouTube, lol. Okay, I don't know. I'm not going to YouTube anymore very much. I've totally converted my life, and I go on YouTube sometimes when I have something specific I want to watch, but mostly YouTube lost me as a customer. After having me as a creator and treating me poorly, I do not seek to increase their viewership anymore. British men who fought for Ukraine sentenced to death. Two UK citizens and a Moroccan man who fought for Kiev appeared before the Supreme Court in Donetsk. So this is what happens to these mercenaries who are going to Ukraine. And, you know, they're showing themselves on social media and everyone is cheering for them. But when they get captured, mercenaries have no special status. And they can be sentenced to death, apparently, when they are fighting in a country that's not theirs. So all this Western help to Ukraine might very well end up in some of their citizens. British citizens Aidan Aslan and Sean Pinner, they will die. They will die, and it seems to be a mirroring of what is being done to Russian soldiers when they are captured by the courts of Ukraine. So an eye for an eye, Vladimir Putin is going as rough as they are going toward the Russians that get captured. Lendald Guntram says the Britons got it hard. Did they? Geo Bro says, JF, the hard materialist doesn't believe in occult principles. As above, so below. No, I don't believe in occult principles. Why do you say this? I don't believe in occult principles. Yes, that's true. Andrew Tarba says, Mark Zuckerberg must be desperate for ad dollars. Mark Zuckerberg celebrating McDonald's joining workplace with a 20-piece McNuggets, quarter pounder, and fries. I'm loving it. Wow, Mark Zuckerberg. Wasn't it the case that Mark Zuckerberg was only eating what he kills? Wasn't it the case that Mark Zuckerberg had to literally slash the throat of a goat just before dinner? Because that's the only thing you would eat. It's an animal that he has just freshly killed and drank the blood from. It's weird to see him eat the chicken McNuggets and the quarter pounder. Did he have a special internship at McDo and he went to kill the beef that would eventually become his burger? I don't know. But it seems that now at the Facebook headquarters, there is now a McDonald's joining the workplace. I don't know what it means. I guess they've just opened a cafeteria or something for the Facebook employees. McDonald's is good, but if you're a Facebook employee, this might lead you to some problems because they have money. They can buy McDo every day. They're going to get fat. It's something you don't want to your employees to have too much access to the McDo. I find it notable that Mark Zuckerberg didn't take the Big Mac. He went for the quarter pounder. And he has some milkshakes also. Interesting. Starbucks. Maybe some of you will remember. Starbucks had opened up its bathrooms, restrooms to everyone. And back then, they had done so because of a single instance, which didn't have much to do with the bathroom, really. It had to do with there was two black guys, and they were standing in a Starbucks and sitting, and they were waiting. They were claiming that they were waiting for friends, but they were buying nothing. And they had gone to the bathroom, and eventually, the manager kicked them out of Starbucks, and somehow this has got extrapolated into a big racial question. How did Starbucks treat these black guys? And really, the race question wasn't a problem here. I don't think so. Although it was made into a problem. And Starbucks reacted to this by saying we're going to train all of our managers to racial sensitivity. And we're going to open up our bathroom to the public somehow. Now, I said back then that Howard Schultz would regret this, that his bathrooms would become the place for junkies of all kind. And look at the reason now he has to cancel his policy. The coffee company opened its bathrooms to the public in 2018, but Schultz said at a New York Times Deal Book conference in Washington, D.C., that the company may have to change its policy once again. He said that a growing mental health problem was posing a threat to staff and customers, making it difficult for Starbucks employees to manage its stores with the current policy in place. We have to harden our stores and provide safety for our people, the Times quoted Schultz as saying at the conference. I don't know if we can keep our bathrooms open. So, when you open yourself like this, you become the psychiatric hospital of the entire planet. And that's what Starbucks had become. And at this point, there were customers annoyed and employees at risk. You've attracted all of the crazies because it was it was hailed across the United States that if you're in trouble, just go to a Starbucks bathroom. They can't kick you out. Of course, when you don't have rules, you end up having parasitism that exploits these rules. But here's why it was such a bad idea to make this a racial thing 3 years ago or 4 years ago. It's that now that you're canceling this policy, are you going back to racism? Because if it had been just a policy of bathroom, then the technical argument today would stand. Okay, it just gives us too much problems. There's just too many junkies. But you, Howard Schultz, made it a racial thing 4 years ago by pairing this bathroom policy with racial training for your managers. So now that you're reverting this aspect of your policy, is that a reversal to racism? Is that a stepping back over your woke attitude of 4 years ago? I'd like to hear him answer this, but of course, I'll never get the opportunity to ask him because he wouldn't be in a conversation where it goes there. Tuttle Grimm sends a super chat. Thank you so much for supporting the show. He says, do you favor the. One moment. Do you favor the World Economic Forum's plan to implement a 4-day working week? What will this do for the economy? The 4-day working week has always been in the cards of the globalist, of the leftist, of the communist, since the 80s at least, if not before. As far as I know, at least since the 80s. They were calling it the Society of Leisures. We were headed toward a Society of Leisures. Listen, the 4-day work week. I'm not against it, but I'm against the way they are trying to get at it. I'm against getting there through legislation. I think that if a bunch of employees benefit from a 4-day work week, so be it. Let it happen and let them ask their managers, hey, I'd like to work 4 weeks. I mean, this is what you'll see at the low level, you know, small jobs, minimal salary job. You'll have employees regularly talk with their managers and tell them, I'd like to work less, I'd like to work more. That is perfect. And in the self-employed sector, of course, people set their own schedules. And of course, there's such a thing as 4-day weeks or just disorganized weeks of all kind. But the idea of converting the entirety of society by force of law and, of course, of upping people's living standards correspondingly, because if we were to do this by law, I'm sure that the governments would also force the corporations to pay more for the lesser work that they get. I think there's a problem. There's a problem because you end up needing more employees to do the exact same work. So that's more training cost, more management cost, more scheduling issues. So generally, I'm against making it a societal policy, but I'm all for people balancing life and family, but let the freedom of people dictate that. Don't make it a forced thing, because by making it a forced thing, you're going to make it very hard for certain companies to keep going. There are some companies that if you do that, you basically kill them. And I don't want that to happen. Send some coming in, sends a super chat on Entropy. Thank you so much for supporting the show. He says, was Bieber's face because of 2 uppercuts and a left hook, or was it just 4 jabs? Ha ha. A nice boxing joke here. Was it the jab or was it the uppercut? This is the kind of inoffensive, very simple joke that I couldn't have made on YouTube. It's like, on YouTube, I would be nervous right now. I'd be like, oh my God, you have suggested through your joke that the jab is an uppercut and that it caused directly the face paralysis. Oh my God. See, the censorship doesn't target so much, but it targets the little things of life that make life a pain if you don't have them. See, I like your little joke. Thank you for your super chat. And oh my God, how crazy is it that we have to isolate ourselves in a corner of the internet on Odyssey, develop parallel platforms, just so we can make these very, very simple kind of jokes. Root Santos. Group hinted at targeting Supreme Court Justice Barrett's children church. The group gave details on Barrett's routine, her children's schools and family spiritual life. So these people are totally coordinating on Twitter. They're like, oh, we found the school where her children are, and oh, she donated to that school, and oh, this and that, and she's part of the school board or whatever. And they're basically making research to harass Supreme Court justices because they've been convinced by the leftist media coverage that this was some massive denial of women's rights that was coming with the abolition of Roe v. Wade. Unbelievable that this is happening in a world where the January 6th committee is considered getting at the heart of white terrorism in America. The heart of white terrorism in America is a bunch of leftists who are revolutionaries who, if you ask them by survey, they are much more willing to commit political violence. And they are committing political violence when you look at the Brett Kavanaugh situation, where a guy was all equipped to go kill Brett Kavanaugh. Because when you think about it, it's true. If one of these justices get killed before the decision is released, we may very well have a not reversal of Roe v. Wade. Perhaps it's down to 5-4 right now. And so if a right-wing justice was to die, we might be at 4-4. Unbelievable. So I hope that there's very high security around these justices so that we can get to the right decision. Andy BL says, are they claiming a dead witch is leading them? Leading who? I don't know what you're talking about. Maybe you were talking to some other person on the chat. PNJ bizarrely blames Amy Schumer for tampon shortage. So apparently, Amy Schumer, what an unfunny woman. What a terrible, terrible comedian. She doesn't reach one on the Daniel Tosh scale of comedy. Apparently, she did a tampon TV ad where she was acting like the person who needs tampon education. So she really didn't know how to use a tampon. So she was putting her tampons in her donuts and eating the donuts. And she's specializing in the whole brand of humor that is, hey, I'm a female and I'm disgusting. Like, let me make a joke here about how there's blood coming out of my vagina. Yeah! And oh, here I'm eating a gigantic donut with a tampon in it. Isn't that funny? No, it is not, Amy. But apparently, the TV ad made tampons so popular that P&G, the maker of Tampax, is now announcing that there's a national tampon shortage, and it's because of the increased demand. It's because of the increased demand due to Amy Schumer's How to Insert a Tampon ad. Dino Legovic says, cringe humor is the new self-harm. Yeah, it's like we're going to get a red flag law around people who watch that ad repeatedly. It's like, hello, police? Yes, I'd like to signal one of my friend, JF, has been inducing self-harm by repeatedly watching Amy Schumer's comedic sketches. Particularly the tampon TV ad. I'm worried for his mental health. Could you just do a wellness check on him? Twitter quietly removes warning added to a CDC study on child vaccines. So at this point, it's like new scientific study comes out. And it turns out that, you know, the scientific study is not super advantageous to the vaccine. Turns out that the facts are not super pleasant for the vaccine enthusiast. it was showing data showing rapid waning of COVID vaccines in children. So it was showing that basically if the vaccine has any effect, it's for the first few months and then it's done. And you know, it's the American Medical Association, a peer-reviewed medical journal. But as it turns out, this new scientific discovery didn't fit the Twitter rules. So Twitter put a misinformation, potentially harmful and misleading content label on it. Now, how can you be at Twitter and know better than the people who just released a new scientific study on this subject? So eventually they removed the label, but it shows just how, by claiming the truth in advance, before we even know it, you will end up mislabeling things as misinformation. So how about you let the scientific discussion occur? How about you let scientific competition and the free market of ID solve this before you decide that vaccines must be good always and it must work always and it must work on children also when you don't know it? This is what happens when a bunch of people who don't know something try to claim that they know, better than you. Dr. Simon Gold on Gab reports Missouri Governor Mike Parson has signed legislation that will prevent state licensing boards from punishing physicians who prescribe ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine. This is a tremendous victory for medical freedom. Yes, independent of my opinion on these medications, because I've always not been fully convinced by these medications. I've not been sure that they are efficient. Hydroxychloroquine seems to have been relatively abandoned, but ivermectin, to me, is still on the fence. But independent of whether you're convinced by the current data or not, it should be the case that a doctor deciding this with his patient shouldn't be subjected to license removal and attacks of his profession and stopping him from being able to be a doctor in a state. So it's great what Missouri is doing. You have to protect medical liberty. You have to protect doctors who think differently. It's not like a doctor is pulling things out of his ass. He's trusting scientific studies. It's just scientific studies that you don't like. So he's making a decision that's as rational as yours. It's just that you don't like these scientific studies, but if you happen to trust these particular studies, you will believe that ivermectin has a positive effect. Rabobank, there are just two solutions to this inflation shock. One is extremely painful, the other one is worse. Today, as the BOE's inflation attitude survey, I don't like it, but the market's primary focus is going to be US CPI. They don't understand how inflation works, and from Larry Summers showing how a part of it does, the whisper is upside of the consensus. So people base upside of the consensus. So they're saying we're going to get even more inflation and more than what people expect. I think, yes, that makes sense. Eventually it has to seal. Eventually it will stop. But we will have to be faced with perhaps more inflation in the coming months. That's also what I expect. So be it. And finally, as a last news item before we close the show, well, Dino Legovic says, just print enough money, then everyone can be a billionaire. That will be the ultimate conclusion. We're going to go into whatever amount of recession people are politically willing to tolerate, and eventually it will get too hard. And eventually, politics will switch toward basically a consensus that we have to reactivate the economy artificially. This has always been the cycle. This is why all of the rises of the stock market for the last many, many decades have all been artificially pushed by injections of money into the system. And it's not going to be different here. The question is just how much depression economically are we willing to endure? Maybe a year, maybe 2 years, maybe 5 years, but certainly not the rest of our lives. The system always comes back with fictitious money. A last news item, the Sriracha lovers, beware. Chili pepper shortage leads to suspended production of the iconic spicy sauce. It's quite stunning what's happening across different domains. Because we're here you have a sauce that basically is just peppers, red peppers, and just other things to fill the thing, but basically the basic ingredient of sriracha sauce is chili pepper. And even them are stuck with a shortage. They say there's been a couple of shortages that hit them during the COVID pandemic and worker shortage and fertilizer issues. And now they just got hit with a big weather issue, which has led the harvest of chili peppers this year or last year. I don't know how it works. I don't know where they're farming them. But recently, the harvest of chili pepper has been dramatically low, and they've been affected by bad weather and bad growth. So we're going to be lacking sriracha sauce. I don't know how exactly you're supposed to pronounce it. It's not a big miss to me, but it's probably going to be a problem for all these hipster little Asian food takeout places that rely a lot on sriracha to spice up their food. Yeah, the flavor of shitty Asian food, says Rootin Tootin. Exactly. The sriracha is the definition of a sauce that's just spicy and that doesn't bring any complexity to the meal. So it's really the shitty Asian place favorite sauce. I can live well without it. We have reserves, I'm sure, anyway, and we don't eat much of this one. But I guess there are some places who will have to find an alternative. Well, why don't you go for Tabasco? Here's a sauce with a depth to it, a sauce that is aged, a sauce where you can feel the kind of vinegary aspect of it and the effect of time on it. That is such a better sauce to spice up anything, including Asian food. Mama JF says that's how the spicy mayo for sushi is made. Ah, yeah, that's true. That's a good one. The spicy mayo for sushi is of Mama JF is very good. DK Shadow says Mama JF understands the implications. I'm there and I'm like, no one cares about the sriracha sauce. And Mama JF is like, with an illuminated board of links, of causal links in the economy. And she's like, no, Jeff. It's not working. The system can't make it. Like Minority Report type of browsing through the virtual world with my hands. And it's like, well, I hadn't considered that. I'm shocked, but okay. That means this news item is really dramatic. Bye-bye. By the way, before I leave, we do have something on the schedule. The Patreon and Subscribestar hangout at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. This will be on Sunday. So don't miss the Sunday Patreon and Subscribestar hangout for people at the $20 level. And then on Monday at 9 p.m. Eastern Time, also, this will be a private thing, but there's a guy in the audience who wants to talk to me. So he has reserved the spot. So that will be on Monday after the regular show. But on Sunday, that's the private discussion for the Patreon and Subscribestar hangout donors at the $20 level. All right, bye bye everyone, and sleep well.
Mm-hmm.